Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Special program lined up for you. You are so special to hear this. Yes, we've got good stuff. Here it comes. We are going to talk, shift gears completely. Healthcare, of course, is part of our financial system because there's a cost to it, and it's important to talk about. And there's been so much in the country's dialogue about healthcare with all the changes that it's become really a big deal. And as a small business owner, I can tell you that healthcare is a big deal, and we have seen our course costs go up, and it is a very important thing for us to stay on top of, not only for businesses but for individuals. So we've got a special guest actually in the studio, which is always a lot of fun for me. Her name is Mary Beth Healy. She is a project director with Working America, the community affiliate of AFL-CIO. And the website for today's program, workingamericahealthcare.org, workingamericahealthcare.org. We're going to just dive right in here with Mary Beth. Mary Beth, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David, so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for coming over and visiting with us. It's nice to use the studio and not just the telephone line. So thanks for coming. So a little bit about you, Mary Beth. I understand you've got two decades of experience in not only electoral campaigns, but this healthcare field. It's just living and breathing it, right?
Indeed, indeed. You know, healthcare has always been one of the major issues that Americans have been concerned about,
sure,
right? And if we think about, you know, why in the world was the Affordable Care Act even passed? As a small business owner, you know it was the high cost of healthcare, and it was impacting government budgets, family budgets, and certainly business budgets, with the average family premium at that time being over $12,000 a year. Who can do that, right? So Working America, which as you mentioned, is the community affiliate of the AFL-CIO, and they worked with our partner, Union Plus, who is the consumer benefits arm of the AFL-CIO. For your listeners who may not know, the AFL-CIO is the union of unions in this country.
So they're folks, the big boys.
Right. They're kind of the coalition of all the unions in this country. And Working America has 3.3 million members throughout the United States who have always identified healthcare as one of the most important issues,
sure,
that we should work on. So we did help to pass the Affordable Care Act, and now Working America and Union Plus have teamed up for Working America Healthcare to actually help people understand the law, how they can take advantage of the tax credits and subsidies that are available to help people pay for premiums, and then also just like, how do you actually use this healthcare?
Right.
You know, so many Americans have not had health coverage in a long, long time.
That's very true. That's a great introduction. And from a business owner standpoint, you're right. Healthcare is a big deal. It's a big deal for my employees. It's a big deal for people we may potentially hire. And we're big believers in providing that. And that's essential. And, you know, the cost, as you are very aware, Mary Beth, continue to go up. In fact, even since the passage of the Affordable Health Care Act, we've still seen increases, and it's a challenge. In fact, our most recent increase, here's some, you know, anecdotal data for what you're dealing with. Our last increase was 37%.
Yeah, and this is the other thing that really is, you know, the Affordable Care Act, it solved a lot of problems around access and coverage. But we still have a lot to do about cost containment and accountability within the healthcare industry. As an example, you know, in Florida, our insurance commissioner, there's a lot that they could do to more regulate the insurance industry so that it's much more consumer friendly and business friendly. In Oregon, one of the pieces of legislation that we worked on when I was out there as the executive director of Oregonians for Health Security was around justifying rate increases, right? Like, insurance companies have a business to run, right? And that's
sure,
great, and we support their ability to help people get coverage and all of that. But, you know, if you can't explain to me as the person that's going to be paying the premium why my rate has gone up 37%,
sure,
then the insurance commissioner in Oregon would step in and say, hey, you guys have to justify why these rates are going up and going up so much more than your competitors.
Right.
And during the first round of health plans under the ACA, one of the biggest carriers in Oregon actually had to go back and readjust their rates. We don't have that in Florida. So that's an option for, you know, further advocacy and really helping Floridians understand healthcare broadly, and then more importantly, just the benefits and the ability for them to get coverage today that is going to help them to, you know, that for their own healthcare as well as their finances.
Okay. The Working America then is really trying to help people understand how this works and get people, get them signed up, get I guess, help them navigate this new healthcare
system
or component of the system.
Exactly, David. You know, last time around in the first open enrollment, 10 million Americans got coverage. I mean, this is amazing success of the ACA. But all those 10 million people, they have to re-sign up for coverage this year. It's just like at work, right?
Sure, sure.
Folks have open enrollment periods. So this is the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act for 2015. And folks have until February 15th to actually get covered.
That's good.
Or they could face some fines come tax time next year.
Yeah, that's part of the legislation, right?
Indeed. And, you know, carrot stick approach, you know, however one wants to look at it. But the fee, you know, folks may remember last year that it was $95. And I do think there were a lot of Americans who thought, whatever, I'm not going to hassle with it. The website had all those problems, right? I'm just not going to worry about it. Well, this time around, if you don't have coverage for 2015, that fine increases to $325 for an individual and more than that if there are family members. Or, and this is the really important part, 2% of one's income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, or whichever is greater. So by and large, I bet that 2% is going to be higher for folks.
Oh, that's an attention getter.
It really is. And I think a lot of folks don't know about that. And it is important for people to go to workingamericahealthcare.org, check out what your estimated premiums are going to be, what your estimated tax credits will be to help you pay for premiums. Because you know better than I do, David, you know, people's first thing is, oh my God, I can't afford health insurance, right?
Yeah.
It's so expensive. Well, the ACA was set up to really help folks afford coverage, right?
Well, let me ask you this. There's a couple of things there that I think still people are still trying to understand about the ACA. And of course, people also refer to it as Obamacare.
Correct.
Basic question. How do they, so everybody is required to have health insurance.
Correct.
Bottom line. Okay. So who don't otherwise have it? So how, and this is a little bit of the big brother piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
How do they know? Let's say you got somebody who they work for a company, they got laid off, they no longer have coverage. How do the feds, if you will, how do they know that the person doesn't have coverage and is then going to be subject to this fine?
Right. Excellent question. So folks are starting to get their tax forms and stuff from 2014.
Right.
On our tax forms this year is going to be a little box that you have to check. Do you have health coverage? And if you do not, then you might be subject to penalty. Now, there are a couple
So it's a self-disclosed procedure.
Correct.
There's not a new wing of the government.
The healthcare posse coming.
There's no healthcare police out looking for us. You know, we don't have truant officers anymore. Maybe they need something to do.
Right.
You know, you're truant on your healthcare. We're going to send them out to find you. Okay. So it's a self-reporting thing. All right. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so people are going to start noticing this really soon. But, you know, folks shouldn't feel freaked out about it, right? There are exceptions. Again, the way the ACA was set up, that if folks had coverage through their work, through the VA, if they're veterans, Medicare recipients, anyone 65 or older, or Medicaid, we've got this great system that's a state and federal partnership that was only for categorically eligible people. So folks who were blind or disabled, pregnant, women, and children for a certain time. The idea around the ACA, because not everyone is going to make enough money to qualify for a tax credit or a subsidy, the idea was let's expand the Medicaid program, which is well established in states all over the country, and folks who are either unemployed and don't fit into those traditional categories of Medicaid and other low-income workers could then access that as their health coverage and by and large would be no cost to them, right? Unfortunately, Florida and many other states did not expand Medicaid and did not vote to expand that piece of coverage. So we have over 1 million Floridians who are not going to qualify for tax credits, don't qualify for the Medicaid program. So they're in what we are calling the Medicaid gap. And there's a lot of folks in that. But they're not; those folks are not going to get fined, right?
Okay, because, that's an exception.
Yes, there's an exception for that. They do have to file a waiver, but that's easy to find and get on healthcare.gov. Or if you call Working America Healthcare, we can help navigate folks through that process. But I think that is important to know. So if you're unemployed, you know, that's you're not going to get fined.
Okay. You know. That's good. Mm-hmm. Very good. If you're just joining us, Mary Beth Healy's on the line with on the line. Heck, she's right here in the studio. Lucky me. Project Director with Working America, the community affiliate of the AFL-CIO, and the website workingamericahealthcare.org. Quick break. We'll come back with Mary Beth. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back, getting the inside scoop on workingamericahealthcare.org. That's the website. And Mary Beth Healy is my guest today, and we're talking about putting the wheels on the pavement, if you will, with the Obamacare, the ACA. Now, I want to go back. You mentioned some enrollment numbers, which are really interesting. Are you anticipating? I know it's, you know, we have until February 15th, you said?
Correct.
Okay, so do we get a sense for what the enrollment's going to look like for this, you know, this year going forward?
So a lot of folks, any of those folks that had enrolled through the ACA,
are they automatically enrolled? Or?
So they will have gotten notices both from HHS, the Health and Human Services Department, as well as their insurance companies saying that, you know, their renewal time was up. Here's what their likely premium would be. And folks can either immediately just take that and it keeps being paid and they're covered, or they can take another look at workingamericahealthcare.org.
And compare choices.
And take a look, because something may have changed in their life, right? Maybe they had a baby. Maybe they got a raise. Maybe they, you know, lost their job, right? And now have a different job. So a lot of things happen in a year in people's lives. So I really do encourage people to take another look. Even those folks who have been automatically renewed have until February 15th to make any changes that they might like, which is also important, right? I think, again, for folks where this is a really new benefit for them and not having had health coverage before, don't necessarily know that this is an annual renewal.
Now, that's very helpful. And does with the reporting process, or I'm really curious, and it's very convenient to be able to talk to you about this, Mary Beth, so that to check the box on whether you have health care or not, is that creating a situation where people that might not otherwise have had to file a return have to file it just to be able to send in a form that says, hey, I'm checking the box and saying, I don't have any income to report, and I don't really need to file a tax return, but because of checking that box requirement, they got to file a return?
You know, I am not a tax expert. Okay. By and large, most people who are getting tax credits and subsidies typically
they need to file the return anyway.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the other quick question, that 10 million sound like some of the early estimates? Are we anticipating 10 million people again?
And even more,
even
right?
More?
We have close to 40 million people in this country who are uninsured.
Okay.
And so there's plenty of opportunity for folks to still get coverage.
And are we still seeing people, some of the 10 million that originally signed up, of course, their policies were canceled. So they weren't just uninsured. Is that percentage or the number of people that have lost their plans because of the program, is that changing the mix? Is there, you know, are there more people now who are signing up? I guess my question is, are more people signing up now because they don't have health insurance as opposed to having had one before the program started? Because there was a lot of talk, you know, of course, as you know, in the press about how some of the people that signed up had health insurance but lost it because of this, you know, the new program. Are we seeing that change? Or is there more people signing up that didn't have it before?
Yes. I mean, I think the by and large, if one had coverage, right? And are you talking about, you know, if you like your plan, you can keep it? That whole
argument, there was a lot that was in the news about, you know, folks that lost their coverage because the plans were canceled.
Probably because they did not meet the minimum requirements of the ACA. The Affordable Care Act, again, did a lot of things, and really a lot of things to help consumers, right? We can have our children on our plans until they're 26 now. No more pre-existing conditions exclusions, which so many people had a challenge. And it didn't even have to be like I had cancer and can't get coverage now. When I was doing health advocacy work in Oregon, I was collecting stories of Oregonians and their struggle with the healthcare crisis. And one that just has always stuck with me was a three-year-old little child who was denied coverage because they had acne. Now, this is a little kid who now was going to have to pay a higher rate for the rest of their life because they had this pre-existing condition of acne. A little ridiculous. So that is now done. And I still talk to people today that are like, oh, no, I can't get coverage. I had X,
Y,
and
Z. They still understand.
And it is complex.
Yeah,
right?
And that's
There's really a lot of changes. What
my question was about is because I'm hopeful, I guess is the word, I'm hopeful that we see people get coverage if the law is going to remain the way it is, that we're going to see people sign up who don't have coverage that now can have coverage, not just people. And that's why I'm curious if that's changing, because I know some of the original 10 million were people that already had a plan before the legislation. They already were covered. Now I'm hopeful that if this is going to continue, that we have people actually sign up that didn't just lose their policy. That's what I'm after.
I understand what you're saying.
That's what I'm after.
No, I think that... for most Americans, right, this has been an incredible lifesaver, right? And yes, like, you know, some of those folks that maybe lost coverage before, I would venture to say they didn't know all about how either inefficient or less than credible coverage is the thing. You know, under the ACA, you have to have preventative coverage.
Right.
You have to have all of these services that a lot of plans did not have before.
Right.
And women, just as an aside, we have been charged more for our health coverage for decades because we might someday have a baby.
You take better care of yourselves too.
So, well, we typically are.
You go to the doctor better.
The healthcare. Consciences in families,
That's true. That's very
trying
true.
To get one's husband or son to go to the doctor can be pretty challenging sometimes. But this is a great opportunity. And I would say to the young men and men in general, there's a lot of reasons to go. I helped enroll a young man last year who, you know, runs a landscaping business, plays with, you know, mechanical toys in the woods and plays sports, right? So uninsured, 29 years old, and
invincible.
And does a lot of, you know, things where he could get injured. Well, P.S., he got covered the following year. He actually had a terrible accident at work. So, you know, we think that nothing's going to happen to us, but by and large, you never know, right? And it is the opportunities for folks to get a plan that is affordable for them and meets their needs. Not everyone needs the Cadillac plan, right? But everyone must have coverage or face this potential penalty.
Well, one other thing I want to really make sure we get to. Actually, let's grab another break and we'll come back. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about, you know, we've talked about the individuals. I'm really curious also to get your perspective for businesses and what they're doing. Because, you know, again, we hear certain things in the press, but we don't always know all the details. So we'll come back. Mary Beth Healy is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, project director with Working America, the community affiliate of the AFL-CIO. And the website is workingamericahealthcare.org. Quick break. We'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Yes, indeed. Plan Stronger with your healthcare, too. Mary Beth Healy's in the studio with me, project director with Working America. I want to throw in a bunch of extra W's there. I'm sorry. The community affiliate of the AFL-CIO, workingamericahealthcare.org. And I wanted to come back, if we could, Mary Beth, and just kind of hit it from another angle because, again, we hear certain things in the press. And one of the things that was going on while this legislation was being put forth and then ultimately passed and then being implemented is the impact on businesses and what they would do. And so the question is, are you seeing businesses saying, you know what, we're not going to offer a health plan anymore. And because these plans are so good or they are so much more cost effective than what we can do in the more commercial non-ACA plans, we have, obviously our plan through work. My wife has a plan through her employer. Is it realistic or feasible that I would say, you know what, let's just all move to that instead of doing it through, are we seeing businesses do that?
So the shop provisions of the ACA were actually delayed. They were originally supposed to go into effect in December of last year and were delayed, or December of 13, I'm sorry, and were delayed for a year. So currently, if an employer has 50 or less employees, they should absolutely take a look at the options under the ACA. A lot of people are doing a cost-benefit analysis,
sure,
right? Because they want their employees to be covered. And let's remember, too, most Americans still do get their coverage through their work.
Right, right.
And that's been a great system that has worked since World War II for a lot of folks. But what the ACA was really designed to do was help reduce costs overall, but really target the individual market because there were so many
right.
people who weren't able now because of that cost we were talking about earlier for their employer to provide coverage. And so this is a very good option. I do know that some folks are looking at, they still want to provide that benefit for their employees because it is a benefit, right? That workers look for when
yeah.
they're looking
oh, yeah.
for a
Big
job,
time.
Right?
Big
like,
time.
What's your health coverage? What's
right.
your benefits package?
Right.
So a lot of employers are thinking about, is there a way for us to have HSA accounts for folks that we'll put in some percentage of the premium or even all the premium, again, depending upon the employer, to help people. We don't want to encourage people to drop employer coverage, right?
Okay.
That's not the objective of the ACA. The objective really was to help reduce costs and help in this individual market where really consumers were getting the shaft for decades.
Well, and I guess as you said very well, Mary Beth, businesses, hey, it's the bottom line very often.
Very much.
And especially, as I said at the top of the program, we are experiencing a 37% increase and we provide 100%. We pay 100% of the employee portion. They pay for any dependents.
Co-pays, dependents.
Yeah, and dependents. But because we do that, it's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
And so my natural thought is, well, then if you can get guaranteed coverage, mm-hmm. Without the pre-existing conditions, and it's less expensive or even maybe the same, it just might be something an employer might consider. That's why mm-hmm. I was wondering about it.
And the other thing, too, from the employee perspective, we have had some folks that have come in during the last open enrollment period. In particular, I've not experienced this so much this time around, where it's like, oh, yeah, I am offered coverage at work, but it either is really, really expensive.
Sure.
Right? So that is another one of those exceptions. If the health premiums that the employee pays are more than 9.6% of their income, then indeed they can get a waiver again and go on the exchange. Otherwise, there are going to be questions about the coverage that the employer is covering. And that's the other thing for employers to look at. Does their plan meet those minimum standards of the Affordable Care Act? So there are some options there, and there are really good people that are available at healthcare.gov to help employers navigate through the small business provisions. And remember, it's only for employers of 50 or less employees.
Who are, we are exempted or we are required to look?
Required.
Okay. Because we haven't really even looked at it yet.
Mm-hmm. And probably part of that is probably because you already provide health coverage
for
your employees.
Okay. Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it is complicated, mm-hmm. Mary Beth.
It is not simple, you know.
And we're hoping to be able to, you know, we like, of course, the autonomy or the independence of having our own plan and being able to evaluate that and shop. And we have a really good health insurance agent. But let's not overlook potential solutions that we might be able to tap into as a business. And if these types of plans are going to remain available, and we will see what happens in the future. You know, I know there are question marks out there that may come, but it's certainly worth considering and looking at. What are some of the, you know, we've got a couple minutes, other things that may surprise people about taking a look at this new delivery system and of course, being able to go to the website. Now, is it still the main site, thehealthcare.gov?
Yes, and Working America, again, we have partnered with one of the largest brokers in the country, GoHealth, to really help people navigate the system. Folks can either go to workingamericahealthcare.org or they can dial 888-276-2580 and have somebody answer all their questions online. They will actually fill out the application online. And the other added benefit for consumers to go through Working America Healthcare is actually a couple. And this came from the experience that Working America had in the first open enrollment period, where so many consumers really, I've got this coverage now. Now what do I do? So we have provided a service at no charge of a health advocate. And this person is just what it sounds like, right? It's someone who has got your back, right? And if you need to make an appointment with a specialist or you have a problem with a bill from the insurance company and you don't think that it's been paid right, you call this health advocate. They will fight with the insurance company for you and get that stuff settled. And if anyone in your audience has ever had to call an insurance company, it's not necessarily the most pleasant experience.
Oh, come on. It's a thrill a minute.
You know, 5 hours on hold and talking to six different people. So this is a value add for consumers to really help them in this healthcare system because nobody has time to be on the phone for 4 hours fighting with an insurance company.
It's almost as frustrating as trying to talk to the IRS. People have had some frustrations there as well.
I have to say, knock on wood, I have always had a very pleasant experience with the IRS. I've probably won in a million.
It's sometimes they say, here's your answer, but you can't rely on that answer I just gave you. That's some of the frustration.
Right. That might change tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, yes, we will see. Very interesting. And it's a helpful perspective, Mary Beth. You know, there's a lot to still to absorb and to understand about this. We'll see how it plays out. But it's good to know that there are resources like Working America to help people with this and to navigate. So one more time, the website is workingamericahealthcare.org. And I imagine there's a lot of resources there, a lot of links, a lot of information, and people
Absolutely.
Can actually get on the phone, talk to a real live person, and then get help getting this set up if it fits for their situation.
Exactly. And I would encourage people to do that. Remember, the deadline is February 15th.
All right. Get it done, ladies and gentlemen. WorkingAmericaHealthcare.org. Mary Beth Healy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.